In our continuing study of prayer, we come today to a topic that is closely related to prayer, and that is faith. Faith is an important element in our praying. And I want to talk about it in some detail this morning because I have an idea that there have been times in your life when it seemed that your prayer was not being answered, and the devil said to you, "That's because you don't have enough faith. If you just had enough faith, you'd see these things happen." The sad thing is, there are preachers who will tell you that. That if you just had enough faith, then everything would be the way you want it. Not so. I actually came by today to share with you some truth from several passages of Scripture that I hope will encourage you to understand that you do have enough faith to pray and get answers from God. Faith is a necessary element. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, he says, "If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault. It'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." And we're going to talk about doubt in a few minutes. "That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord because they're double-minded and unstable." So he said, when you ask, you must believe. Your prayer should not be, "Well, God, I don't think you care about this at all, and I doubt you're going to do anything about this, and I really don't even know why I'm doing this, but anyway, let me pray." No, he said, no. You may not know how God's going to answer or when God's going to answer, but you do know he will answer. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe two big things about God, that he exists, that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly, diligently, consistently seek him." We've been talking over the last week or so about the importance of a consistent time with God. And I will repeat to you what I said, I think, last week. I'd rather you spend 5 minutes every day or 5 minutes 5 days a week than nothing for 3 months and then all of a sudden spend a whole bunch of time. You get more from God as you develop a consistent time with him. However, Jesus does teach us that our faith needs to increase, that the faith you have now should not be the same amount of faith that you have 6 months from now. And if you've been a believer for very long, hopefully the faith you have today is greater than the faith you had, you know, a couple of years ago. But we've got to talk about how to increase our faith. And the key is you increase your faith by growing closer to the object of your faith. Again, another benefit of a consistent time with God. Because the closer you grow to God, the stronger your faith will be. You know that's true. If you've gone weeks or months without prayer, without in the Bible, without church, you realize you don't have much faith because you've grown away from the object of your faith. And you also have experienced that those times when you're closer to God, your faith is stronger. So we have to accept the fact that our faith needs to grow. You're not stuck with the level of faith you have now. You should not be satisfied with the level of faith you have now. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "We go from faith to faith." That is, from one level of faith to the next level of faith. Jesus said to his disciples one time, "You're people of little faith." He told the lady who had the demon-possessed daughter, "You have great faith." Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, "Your faith grows exceedingly." Each of us have two creatures inside of us, fear and faith. And the one that is the strongest is the one that we feed the most consistently. Feed your faith. A way to do that is to associate with people who have great faith. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, we are encouraged by each other's faith. Haven't you found that to be the case? You're struggling, and you run into a Christian friend, and they start talking, and you start talking about past answers to prayer, and all of a sudden, your faith starts to increase. I've had people say, I came to church today. I didn't want to be there. I didn't have any idea. I knew I needed to go, so I went. And it was amazing how much my faith grew once I was there. Faith is not really contagious, but in a sense it is. Just like discouragement is. You know, you'd be feeling great. You run across people that just sap the life right out of you. And sometimes we're weak in our faith, but we get around other people who have faith. And we are encouraged by that. Paul says of Timothy in 1 Thessalonians 3, Timothy will strengthen and encourage your faith. Man, I don't know that there's a higher compliment you can give somebody than that they will strengthen and encourage your faith. It's one of the reasons we come to church every week, because we need our faith to be strengthened and encouraged. It's especially important when you're going through times of difficulty. You need to get around people who have faith that will encourage your faith. You probably know the verse, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You increase your faith as you read the Bible. Because as you read the Bible, you read of how God answered prayer for other people. You read of the miracles that he did for others. And then you read he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and your faith begins to grow as you see how he has worked in the past. Part of helping you to do that is to remember the times that God has honored your faith. We've talked before about maybe keeping a spiritual journal of some sort, a spiritual diary. I didn't ask you if I could share this, but Donna has had a pattern of keeping a prayer journal. And, you know, just like every day just writing something that she's praying about, that she's grateful for. And one year, I think it was the day, for a few days into the new year, she sat down and read through the previous year's journal. And she said it was amazing to remember all of the prayers that God had answered last year. We forget them because we just go on to the next need we have. But if you have a way of jotting down, there's some stories that I have written down through the history of our church of the miracles that God has done for us. Periodically, I share them with you to remind us that we serve a God who still does miracles. But remember the times that God has honored your faith. Jot down those answers to prayer. It will encourage you as you pray. That's part of keeping your faith active. As I said again, you pull away from God, your faith stops being active, your faith will begin to diminish. And then it's also appropriate to ask God to increase your faith. One of the most honest prayers in the Bible was the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, we struggle with that. And it's okay to say, God, I'm struggling right now. It's been a while since you've answered a prayer for me saying yes. A while back, I sent a note to one of the kids and said, you know, I'm praying for you about this, but you do need to be aware that God has been saying no to a lot of my prayers recently. You know, and we need to just ask God in those dry seasons, increase my faith, strengthen my faith. And the key is obedience, because James 2 says, without works, faith is dead. So you have to obey what you know. And we're going to talk about that more in a little bit as well. Now, if you have a Bible app or a Bible with you, turn to Mark chapter 5. I realize that I'm rushing, because the stuff I really want to talk to you about is at the end, and I want to make sure I have time when I get there. So you can just take these notes and in your own pace this week, just kind of redo this as your own devotional time maybe. But in Mark chapter 5, and I've preached a whole sermon on this, we have a very interesting couple of events in the life of Jesus that gives us some lessons for faith. It starts with a man named Jairus, who comes to Jesus. And this is Mark 5, verse 23. He pleads earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live." And verse 24 says, "So Jesus went with him." Two things in those verses. First is God's willingness. Jesus went with him. And the other is ask for what you need. Jairus comes to him. His daughter is dying. Jairus doesn't say, "Oh Lord, please bless me today and bless all the missionaries and bless all my friends in Jesus' name, amen." No. He needed an answer for his daughter. Pray for what you need. Ask for what you need. And sometimes in your praying, that, you know, there's a need that is so overwhelming in your life that that will take up the bulk of not all of your prayer time. "God, this is what I need from you today." But just know that God is willing. I love Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. In the NIV, it says, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." See, God loves when we praise him, when we glorify him. And so he says, "Call on me when you're in trouble. Ask for what you need. I am willing to help you. Call on me in your day of trouble. I'll answer you, and you'll praise me." But there's a detour on the way to Jairus' house. So this crowd gathers around Jesus. And in verse 25, says there was a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She just kept getting worse and worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And immediately she was healed. There's something about this lady, of her desire, her urgency. "I've got to get to Jesus." And her faith was demonstrated by just saying, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." This woman is an incredible illustration of faith, of urgency, of "I've got to get to Jesus." And she makes her way through the crowd and touches the hem of his robe. And let me just try to, in 45 seconds, preach this hour-long sermon. Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" And his disciple says, "You got to be out of your mind. What do you mean, who touched you? There's all kinds of people jostling around you." But he knew, because that lady's touch was the touch of faith. And he said, "I know that virtue went out from me. I know that healing power went out from me. Somebody touched me with a specific faith. And I know it." And she comes forth and admits that it was her. And he tells her that her faith has healed her. And in the meantime, poor Jairus, he's waiting on Jesus to go heal his daughter. And by this time, the word gets to Jairus, "Your daughter's dead. Don't bother him anymore." And Jesus says, "Don't worry about it. She's just asleep," and goes on to his house and heals her. But these two people, Jairus, who asks for what he wants, and Jesus goes with him, and this lady who has this urgent need in her life and says, "If I can just get to Jesus, I can find my answer." Do you have that kind of urgency in your life? "If I can just get to Jesus." I've had people tell me before, "Preacher, I've had a terrible week, but I kept thinking, if I can just get to Sunday, you know, if we can just get to Jesus." But just as there are things that help our faith, there are things that hinder our faith. One of them is our reason, that is our rational thought. Many of us are wired up, or at least I am, that I'd like to have all the answers. I want to have all the answers before I pray, right? I want to have all the answers before I pull out of my driveway. And it doesn't work that way, because Hebrews 11:1, that famous verse, says faith is the evidence of things not seen. So if I've got to see it to believe it, I'm never going to believe it, because that's not faith. Faith is I've got to believe it in order to see it. And if you're waiting to get all the answers, and if you're waiting to figure out how it's all going to happen, your faith will diminish. Faith is saying, God, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I know that you're God. And those little words, I hope, eventually will kill your faith. I hope. Well, is God going to answer? Well, I hope so. Is God going to come through? Well, I hope so. And if you hear yourself say that long enough, and you're going to say, well, but probably not, right? I want to give you a couple of illustrations about this area. Years ago, one of the small towns in America was going through a very serious drought. And it was one of those old-time villages, you know, where the church was in the center of the community and everybody just walked to church. And they were in such a serious drought, it was farmland, that the church called a special prayer meeting for rain. This night at this time, let's all come to church and pray for rain. Everybody's walking in from their homes to come to church. The preacher stands up when it's time to start the service, looks around and says, okay, y'all can go home. What do you mean, go home? He says, you all came to pray for rain. Not one of you brought an umbrella. None of you have any faith that God's going to answer your prayer, so we just might as well go home. If you pray for rain, pack an umbrella. You know, that's faith. And then I heard, I love it how when the Lord sometimes just drops something across my inbox on something that I'm working on. I heard Robert Morris this week, and I don't know how old this clip was. He put it this way. He said, some of us have more faith in the hot water faucet than we do in God. He says, because we know eventually, if we turn that hot water faucet, or you call it spigot, whatever, we turn that hot water on, eventually it's going to be hot. Now, it may take a while. Maybe you've stayed in a big hotel or a condominium or something, and you turn on the hot water, and you just have to wait and wait and wait and wait. You keep putting your hand under it to check the temperature, but you don't turn it off because you know that eventually hot water is going to come out of there. But he said, when we pray and we stick our hand under the faucet and the water's cold, so we just turn it off and say, oh, well, I guess nothing's going to work. He said, would you please have as much faith in the Lord to answer your prayer as you do in the hot water faucet? Like, that's pretty convicting. You know, sometimes you pray and it's cold for a while. Sometimes you pray and you don't get your answer for a while. Don't say, I hope. Don't say, I hope. Say, I'm keeping my hand under the water because I know it's going to get hot in God's time. Another thing we say sometimes, and I know we mean well by it, but it will erode our faith if it's all we say, is, well, if it's God's will, he'll do this. And I need to sit here a minute, because this is challenging. We do know, not my will, thine be done. We do know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But a consistent habit of praying without knowing that you're praying in God's will eventually erode your faith. That's part, last week we talked about listening to God. One of the big benefits of listening to God is that he will guide you how to pray. And there are times when it's like, I'm praying for something, and God said, no, that's not the way you're supposed to be praying this. See, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will. So the if it's God's will is not something to give us a cop-out. It's something to give us confidence that if we pray according to God's will, he hears us, and if he hears us, we have the answer. So what part of praying includes is finding out God's will. And what I mean by that is listen to God, and you've probably had it happen. You're praying about a particular thing, and God starts to tweak that prayer. I remember one of our kids, there was a job opening that would have been a promotion for them, and I just felt like, man, this is what they need. They've been working for this. This is what they need. And so I prayed, Lord, help them to get this job. Help them to get this job. And as I prayed that consistently, I started to hear, that's not what you should be praying. Because God might have something better than that job for them. And so what I changed my prayer to was, Lord, give them the perfect job at the perfect time. And I could pray that because that's how God was tweaking my prayers, not because the job that I was praying they would get would have actually stifled their career. Because they did not get it, a few months later, a perfect job came up that hadn't even been in existence when I was originally praying. So what I'm saying is, listen as you pray. And when you hear God say, no, don't pray that, pray this. Then you can pray in God's will. Lord, I know it's your will. You've got the perfect job at the perfect time, and I pray that that will come true. That's a prayer in faith. And then when you see the answer, keep your hand under the spigot. Eventually, the hot water is going to come. When the answer comes, your faith is built. And so just listen to God as you're praying, and he will tweak how you pray, and you will begin to pray more in line with his will, and that will build your faith as you see the answer. I told you we're going to talk about doubt. This is another hour-long sermon that I'm going to try to do in 45 seconds. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus asked, why did you doubt? This is another one of those challenging areas, but just let me say to you that doubt does not disqualify you from an answer from God. Unbelief does. And doubt is not unbelief. Unbelief is, I don't think God's going to do anything about this. Doubt is, God, I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I do know you will, and I'm going to keep praying, even though I'm not sure in my mind how this is going to work out. You understand that feeling. That's not unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Unbelief is saying, I don't think God's going to do anything about this, so why should I even bother? Doubt is more the honesty of, God, I've been praying about this for a long time, and I don't know if you're going to answer it or not, but I'm going to keep praying. So doubt does not disqualify you from an answer from God. Pray through those doubts. You can say to God, God, I'm just really struggling right now because it doesn't seem like you're hearing me, but I know that you are, and I'm going to keep praying. Maybe you're going to start using that hot water faucet illustration. Lord, I'm keeping my hand under the water. I'm keeping the faucet on because I know in your time the answer is going to come. Something that may help you with this is several years ago, as I was doing my own study on prayer, I ran across a concept called faith-sized requests. What that is asking for what you can specifically see God doing in a specific amount of time. You're praying for somebody that they will become a Christian. Lord, help them get saved. Help them come to you. Help them come to you. In the meantime, they don't have any Christian friends. You haven't talked to them in a social setting for months. They don't go to church. You can start praying, Lord, I want to invite them to coffee, or and just start reestablishing a friendship, not to manipulate them, but to establish a friendship. So God, help them to say yes when I invite them to coffee next week. And then as you get ready for that coffee, Lord, help me to be a friend to them, help me to know what questions to ask, Help me to listen to what they have to say. And you see that prayer answered. And then, Lord, we've got a special thing at church. Help them to say yes when I invite them to come with me to church. You know, just bite-sized requests, faith-sized requests that will help you, because as you see those bite-sized, faith-sized requests get answered, it will strengthen your faith. But the question is, how much faith does it take to get an answer from God? Remember, I told you at the beginning, I want you, by the time we're finished today, to know that you have enough faith. So I'm going to show you how much faith it takes. I got to credit a pastor whose last name is Wilhite, who actually wrote a book called How Much Faith Does It Take to Move the Hand of God? I heard him teach this, and it just opened up a whole area of understanding of faith. How much faith does it take? We're going to go to three passages of Scripture to answer that question. The first is Acts chapter 12. This is one of my very favorite stories from the book of Acts because it's so real. Acts chapter 12. What's happened is Herod executes James, the brother of John, and he imprisons Peter. So Peter is in prison, Acts 12, verse 5. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This prayer was to God. It was earnest. Some think this may have been a several day long prayer meeting because he was in prison for a while. It was the church, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. It's good to have prayer partners to help you pray. And it was for him. They weren't praying for rain. They were praying for Peter to be released from prison. All right, remember that. They are praying for Peter to be released from prison. While they're praying, an angel goes to where Peter is, wakes him up. Peter stands up, his shackles fall off. The angel says, "Come with me," leads him out of the prison, leads him to the city streets. And Peter thought he was dreaming at first, and then he realized, oh, I'm out of jail. I need to go to the church where the people are praying. They were meeting in Mary's house, and we need to go there and let them know I'm out of jail. Many people had gathered there, verse 12 says, and they were praying. And Peter knocks at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda goes to the door. Rhoda is my hero. Rhoda, I cannot prove this to you. It doesn't say this in the Bible. But I believe Rhoda was the child care worker. She was the nursery worker. The church has come together for a prayer meeting. We need somebody to watch the youngins. We can hire Rhoda. And Rhoda, because the people that keep the nursery in churches and the people that teach children's church and nurses, they are the heroes of the church. So that's who I think she was. She goes to the door and she hears Peter's voice. And she's so excited that she goes back and she tells the people who are praying, "Peter is at the front door." And they say, "No, he's not." She says, "Yes, he is." And in those days, they believed that you had an angel that could sound like you. It's like, well, maybe it's his angel, but it's not Peter. Because Peter is in prison, and we're here praying that God will release him from prison. So it can't be Peter at the front door because he's in prison. Do you not understand what we're praying for? We're praying that Peter gets out of prison. I preached a sermon, this is another one of my hour-long sermons that I'm doing in 3 minutes. I preached a sermon on this called Knock, Knock, Who's There? So Peter keeps on knocking. Have you ever had an answer to prayer keep knocking? And you didn't realize it was an answer to prayer because it was different than what you were expecting? Or because you were so wrapped up in the problem that you couldn't see the answer when it came? Finally, because Rhoda keeps saying, "It's Peter." They finally open the door And the Bible says they were astonished. The reason I like this is because it shows us the New Testament Christians were just like me. You pray and pray and pray, and when the answer comes, you're astonished. But haven't you had a situation where the answer was staring you in the face and you couldn't see it because you were so wrapped up in the problem that you were praying for? This is enough faith to pray. When the answer came, they didn't believe it. When the answer came, they were astonished, but they still had enough faith to pray. Do you still have enough faith to pray? Are you still praying? That situation that on your, are you still praying about it? If you've got enough faith to pray, even when the answer comes and you're astonished by it, if you've just got enough faith to pray, you've got enough faith. Luke chapter 5. Jesus is teaching and the crowds are gathered around him. And so he asks Peter if he could borrow his boat to go out a little bit and just teach them from the boat. And when he finishes his teaching, Luke 5 verse 4, he says to Peter, go on out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter, a professional fisherman, said, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, the King James says, nevertheless, at thy word, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And they caught so many fish that their nets started to break, and they had to ask some of their buddies to come and help them get all the fish to shore. Lord, I'm a professional fisherman. You're the teacher. Why don't you teach and let me fish? And I've been fishing all night. There's no fish there. But because you say so, I'm going to let down the nets one more time. That's the faith to obey. I don't understand it, but I will obey. As you develop a consistent prayer time, God's going to tell you some things that you need to change in your life. Do you have enough faith to obey them? And then the third element of faith is Matthew chapter 7. We talked about this a few weeks ago, where Jesus says, ask, it'll be given you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, it'll be open. And remember, we talked about the verb tenses in first century Greek, and these verbs mean ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. This is the faith to stay at the job, the faith to stay, the faith to persist. I would say persist, but it doesn't rhyme with pray and obey. So, you know, pray, obey, stay. The faith to just keep at the job. Lord, here I am again. And I'm going to ask you one more time about this situation, that you would answer prayer in this way, that you would resolve this situation, that you would turn their hearts to you, that you would soften their hearts, that you would help them turn to you. I'm going to pray it again tomorrow, Lord, and I'm going to pray it until the water gets hot. I'm going to pray it till the answer comes. So, don't you have that much faith? If you're still praying, you've got enough faith. Do you have the faith to obey when God tells you to work on that attitude or make that apology or straighten up that area of your life? Are you obedient? And then are you staying at the job? Are you still praying? That prayer you've been praying for 6 months or 6 years, are you still praying, God, I'm waiting on the answer. I know you have an answer, and I'm praying. If you've got that much faith, you'll find the answer to prayer. See, Jesus said, you remember, if you have the faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. Now, I've never seen anybody move a physical mountain, but I tell you what I have seen. I've seen lots of people who had mountains of circumstances and burdens and sickness and challenges in their lives, that those mountains have been moved because of their prayer. Faith is the grain of a mustard seed. You probably have heard that the mustard seed is the smallest of all of the seeds. In fact, by Jesus' time, when you use the phrase the grain of a mustard seed, that meant the smallest possible amount of anything. You know some people whose brains is the grain of a mustard seed. The smallest possible amount of anything. But if you want to be literal, the mustard seed typically is about 1 millimeter in diameter, which is 1/32nd of an inch. Now, I doubt that any of us have a ruler or a tape measure that has 32nds of an inch marked on it. You're going to have half and quarter, and you might have eighth. Maybe you'll have one that'll have the 16ths, but you ain't got a ruler that's got a 32nd mark on it, probably. 1/32nd of an inch. But it hit me that Jesus doesn't say you need the faith of a mustard seed. He said you just need the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And I haven't been able to confirm this in any of my resources, but I kind of wondered if that meant, you know, sometimes you put seeds or like peanuts in your hand and there's a little dust left. I wonder if you're just saying all you need is the dust from a grain of a seed of mustard seed. That's how much faith it takes. Do you have 1/32nd of an inch of faith? If you didn't, you wouldn't be at church today. You wouldn't be watching this today. Just that much faith. When the devil tells you, you don't have faith, you say, I got 1/32nd of an inch of faith. And that's all you need, Jesus said. And as I was meditating on this and as it was ruminating in my spirit, it's kind of like, I can't prove this biblically, but it seems to me that what I need to say to you today is if you've got enough faith to pray, you've got grain of mustard seed faith. If you've got enough faith to obey what God tells you to do, you've got grain of mustard seed faith. If you've got enough faith to stay at the job and keep praying consistently over time, waiting on that hot water to get hot, you've got grain of mustard seed faith. And you can pray in confidence that if you ask according to his will, he hears you and he answers you. Do not let the devil or anybody else tell you you don't have enough faith. Because the faith isn't in you. The faith isn't in your praying. The faith isn't in your faith. The faith is in our God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I should have gone wherever you could buy mustard seeds and passed out one mustard seed to each of you, but you'd lose it before you got to the car because it's so small. But just be encouraged. You've got enough faith. If you've got enough faith to pray and obey what God tells you and stay at the job, you've got the faith to move the hand of God. So, Father, help us to be encouraged to keep on praying. And that hot water faucet illustration is just really bouncing around in my spirit. What a great illustration of just trusting you. And sometimes it takes a while for that water to get hot. Sometimes it takes a while for the answer to come. But, Lord, we trust you. And we know that you know what's best. And so we keep on praying. We keep at the job. Even when we are astonished at the answers, we keep on praying because of who you are. And you keep your promise. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you, May he make his face shine on you and give you his peace, now and evermore. Amen. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about how God answers prayer. Because there's more than one way he answers prayer. And sometimes the challenge we have is the answer is there and we don't recognize it. So, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about how God answers prayer and to keep on trusting him. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. You're dismissed.